another. "I'll drive it then," said Jim. "They don't call me lead pipe for nothing."
"Besides, I heard there were bandits up in the mountains," said Moist.
"Used to be," said Jim. "Not as many now."
"That's something less to worry about then," said Moist.
"Dunno," said Jim. "We never found out what wiped them out."
Always remember that the crowd which applauds your coronation is the same crowd that will applaud your beheading. People like a show. People like a show. And so, mail was coming in for January at $1 a time. A lot of mail. It was Stanley who explained. He explained several times because Moist had a bit of a blind spot on this one.
"People are sending envelopes with stamps inside envelopes to the coach office in January so that the first envelope can be sent back in a second envelope,"
was the shape of explanation that finally blew on some sparks in Moist's brain.
"They want the envelopes back," he said. "Why?"
Because they've been used, sir."
"That makes them valuable?"
"I'm not sure how, sir. It's like I told you, sir. I think some people think that they're not real stamps until they've done the job they were invented to do, sir. Remember the first printing of the one-penny stamps that we had to cut out with scissors? An envelope with one of those on is worth $2 to a collector."
200 times more than the stamp."
"That's how it's going, sir," said Stanley, his eyes sparkling. "People post letters to themselves just to get the stamp. Stamped, sir. So they've been used."
I've got a couple of rather crusty handkerchiefs in my pocket," said Moist, mystified. "Do you think people might want to buy them at 200 times what they cost?"
"No, sir," said Stanley. "Then why should—" "There's a lot of interest, sir. I thought we could do a whole set of stamps for the big guild, sir. All the collectors would want them. What do you think?"
"That's a very clever idea, Stanley," said Moist. "We'll do that. The one for the Seamstresses Guild might have to go inside a plain brown envelope, they—"
This time it was Stanley who looked perplexed.
"Sorry, sir?"
Moist coughed. "Oh, nothing."
"Well, I can see you're learning fast, Stanley.
Some things, anyway."
Yes, sir. I don't want to push myself forward, sir."
"Push away, Stanley. Push away," said Moist cheerfully.
Stanley pulled a small paper folder out of his pocket, opened it, and laid it reverentially in front of Moist.
"Mr. Spools helped me with some of it," he said, "but I did a lot."
It was a stamp. It was yellowy-green colour. It showed, Moist peered, a field of cabbages, with some buildings on the horizon. He sniffed. It smelled of cabbages. Oh, yes.
"Printed with cabbage ink and using gum made from broccoli, sir," said Stanley, full of pride. "A salute to the cabbage industry of the Stow Plains, sir. I think it might do very well. Cabbages are so popular, sir, you can make so many things out of them."
"Well, I can see that.
There's cabbage soup, cabbage beer, cabbage fudge, cabbage cake, cream of cabbage."
"Yes, Stanley, I think you—"
"Pickled cabbage, cabbage jelly, cabbage salad, boiled cabbage, deep-fried cabbage."
"Yes, but now can—"
"Fricassee of cabbage, cabbage chutney, cabbage surprise, sausages."
"Sausages?"
"Filled with cabbage, sir. You can make practically anything with cabbage, sir. Then there's cabbage stamps,"
said Moist, terminally. "At 50p, I note." "You have hidden depth, Stanley."
"I owe it all to you, Mr. Litvig," Stanley burst out. "I have put the childish playground of pins right behind me, sir. The world of stamps, which can teach a young man much about history and geography, as well as being a healthy, enjoyable, engrossing and thoroughly worthwhile hobby that will give him an interest that will last a lifetime, has opened up before me, and—"
"Yes, yes, thank you," said Moist.
"And I'm putting $30 into the pot, sir, all my savings, just to show we support you."
Moist heard all the words, but had to wait for them to make sense. "Pot," he said at last. "You mean like a bet?"
"Yes, sir. A big bet," said Stanley happily. "About you racing the clacks to Genoa. People think that's funny. A lot of the bookmakers are offering odds, sir, so Mr. Grote is organising it, sir. He said the odds aren't good, though."
"I shouldn't think they are," said Moist weakly. "No one in their right mind would—"
"He said we'd only win $1 for every 8 we bet, sir, but we reckoned—"
Moist shot upright.
8-1 odds on," he shouted. "The bookies think I'm going to win. How much are you all betting?"
About $1,200 at the last count, sir. Is that—"
Pigeons rose from the roof at the sound of Moist von Lipvig's scream.
"Fetch Mr. Grote right now!"
End of CD 9.